Alrighty. Hey, check this out. Neil, this is hopefully no relation, I don't think so, to the Newman clan or anything, but check this out. One day this police officer, he pulls over this nun, and she was driving a car, and he says, ma'am, he says, you're driving way too slow on the freeway. Could you please drive a little faster? How many guys would like to hear that from the officer, actually? Yeah. He says, could you drive a little faster? You're way too slow. And the nun says, I'm sorry, officer. I saw the sign with the 21 on it, and I assumed the speed limit was 21. And so the officer explains to the nun, he says, no, ma'am. The speed limit is 65. The highway is 21. And then the police officer, he looks in the back seat, and he sees two other nuns back there. They're shaking like leaves, man. They're totally freaked out. And so he says to the nun driving the car, he says, excuse me, sister, but what's wrong with those two nuns in the back seat? And the nun replied, well, that's probably because we just got off Highway 145. Oh, how many guys know somebody that actually drives like that? You know what I'm saying? We won't ask for a show of hands, but here's the point. What in the world was that nun's problem there? Oh, here's the point. She saw the signs, all right, but here was her problem. She didn't know the proper meaning of the signs, right? No, not at all. Okay, but what was the horrible side effect? Okay, she was not just endangering herself, but the proof's in the back seat. She was endangering the lives of other people, right? But folks, I'm here to tell you, unfortunately, that nun, unfortunately, is not alone. Pay attention, folks. Many people in our society say they also see signs. They're all around them, and they are totally oblivious to their proper meaning. And I'm not talking about speed limit signs. I'm talking about the signs that are all around us that we are living in the last days. And because they too refuse to discern the proper meaning, they too are endangering themselves with the ultimate danger of being left behind. And one day they will be catapulted into the 7-year tribulation that is coming upon the whole world. And in case you don't know, folks, the time of tribulation is not a party. It is an outpouring of God's wrath on a wicked and rebellious planet. In fact, Jesus said in Matthew 24, it would be a time of greater horror that the world has ever seen or will ever see again. And he said, unless that time of calamity was shortened by God, the entire human race over that span would be destroyed. It is coming. But praise God, he's not just a God of wrath. He's what? Oh, praise God. He is a God of love as well. And because he loves you and I, folks, he has given us many warning signs to let us know when the tribulation was near and when his second coming was rapidly approaching. Therefore, to help you and I, to keep us from experiencing the ultimate surprise of being left behind, we're going to continue our study called The Final Countdown. We are headed, people, like in Lump or Leave It, for the final countdown. These are the special days that you and I have the privilege as Christians to live in. And last time, if you were here, we saw the number 10 signs we count down on that sign was none other than the Jewish people. If you want to know how close we are, pay attention to the Jewish people. And there we clearly saw that God foretold when you and I would see the generation wake up. When we saw the Jewish people returning to the land, becoming a single united nation with a powerful military, with their blossoming as a rose in the desert, they'd have a currency, specifically the shekel, and when they would rebuild the temple, which is the temple in the tribulation, then that is a clear indicator. Wake up. You can deny it all you want, but that is a love message from God. Wake up. You are close to the last days. But that's not all. That's the tip of the iceberg. Praise God, he's a God of love. He gives us many signs to wake up before it's too late. The number 9 sign, folks, on the final countdown is modern technology. It isn't just the Jewish people, folks. Get this. We are so immersed in this and we're oblivious to how this should wake us up to the days we live in. It's called modern technology, folks. And the first end time prophecy about modern technology, the Bible said, this is going to happen when you get close to the last days, is there would be a great increase of travel on the planet and knowledge. Do we have that today? In our lifetime. But don't take my word for it. Let's listen to God. So open your Bibles to Daniel chapter 12. Daniel chapter 12. This is a clear passage, folks. How do you know, as Daniel says, the end of times are approaching? Daniel chapter 12. We're going to read verses 1 through 4. Now, how many of you guys realize that Daniel was written by Daniel? You guys are just incredible. This is awesome. You must have ate some cow last night or something. Daniel chapter 12. We're going to read verses 1 through 4. And this is clearly the passage that God is revealing. Now, what's interesting, if you guys have been to the Revelation study, there's many things that God revealed to Daniel centuries and centuries ago. But Daniel had the instructions to seal them up. Close it up. Now's not the time to let people know the specifics. If you read the book of Revelation, what happens? What's that book mean? Remember? Unveiling. Revelation is the unveiling, the apocalypse, the unveiling of Jesus Christ. You want to know the other side of the story that Daniel couldn't reveal? It's in the book of Revelation. You need to come and check that study out. But this is what God revealed to Daniel as a clear sign. What would happen? What would that society be like when you were approaching the end of times in man's history? So let's take a look at the passage there. At that time, Michael, the great prince who protects your people will arise. There will be a time of distress, get this, such as not happened from the beginning of nations until then. But at that time, your people, everyone whose name is found written in the book, will be delivered. Multitudes who sleep in the dust of the earth will awake, some to everlasting life, others to shame and everlasting contempt. Those who are wise will shine like the brightness of the heavens, and those who lead many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. Sounds like if you're wise, you need to be sharing the gospel. Anybody get that? Those who are wise. He says, but you, Daniel, close up and seal the words of the scroll until what? The time of the end. Well, how do you know? Here it is. Many will go here and there and increase in what? Knowledge. Folks, according to our text, it's pretty clear. The Bible says, what were the two signs that God gave Daniel way back when, centuries and centuries ago, that would be an indicator of when the end of times was near? What was it? 2 points there. People would be traveling to and fro, here and there, all over the place, and there would be an explosion, an increase of knowledge, right? People wake up. Are we so deadened? Do we have no idea the days in which we live in? What in the world do you think is happening right now? This passage we just read from Daniel is being fulfilled before our very eyes. We're living in that day. And the first day that modern technology reveals we're living in the last days, what did he say there? There would be an increase of what? Travel going to and fro, all over the place. And people, to grab the significance of it, grab the context. When Daniel wrote down the words of this prophecy, the mode of travel for mankind was basically the same for thousands of years. Except in this last century, that's the only time, folks, we see for thousands of years in the last century a change in mankind's transportation. For instance, the fastest mankind could travel for thousands of years, it stayed the same. Was about 30 miles an hour via horseback. With us from Adam to Alexander the Great to Abraham Lincoln, the times of transportation stayed the same. For instance, this is kind of funny. I found the research. In just at the turn of the century in New York City, they had a major traffic concern. Did you know that? Okay? No, get this. Their traffic concern was dead horses. Dead horses, because that was the means of travel. It's been that way for thousands of years. Every single year in New York City, about 15,000 horses died from exhaustion, beatings, and accidents. Jim, you couldn't kick the tire on your car. Apparently they kicked their horses, okay? But whatever, the beatings and accidents, okay? There are 15,000 folks every single year. And believe it or not, folks, they had their own air pollution. Get this. 1 million pounds of manure produced every day. How many of you guys would take carbon monoxide? The people actually in the summer in New York City, folks, this is true. They actually learned to close their windows during the summer, okay? But here's my point with bringing that up. That's recent history. Here's my point. The major means of transportation for thousands of years was simply the horse. Until now. Until now in our lifetime. People wake up. All in the last century alone, we've gone from the horse to the horseless carriage, i.e. the car. We've gone from a top speed to 30 miles an hour to literally hundreds of miles an hour. And in just a few decades, we now rush here, we rush there, we go to and fro, just like Daniel said, to the tune of 14,000 miles per year. And there's going to be 1 billion cars on the road by 2025. But that's just the land. Oh, no, no, we really love to rush here and there, thanks to the invention of the airplane, which also happened when? In the last century alone, the world has become a much smaller place. For instance, for perspective, get this, the first flight by the Wright brothers was 120 feet long. Had they flown, get this, from the back of a 747, they would not have even made it to first class. That's how much it's progressed. The first plane, folks, had limited seating, 2 guys, and free air conditioning. Okay? The Boeing 747 can carry more than 400 passengers. It can fly 8,300 miles without refueling. It's got 6 million parts, 171 miles of wiring, 5 miles of tubing, and it's got a tail the size of a 6-story building. All in our lifetime is the point. And because there's so many people traveling today to and fro, just like Daniel said, the industry's made it much even easier for you and I to rush here and there, just like the Bible said would happen to that society approaching the end days. For instance, you and I, this is common place today. You and I can even order our tickets online. We can print out our boarding passes from our computer. And those of you who are worried about your loved ones flying, hey, worry no more. Thanks to the internet right now, you can actually follow any flight in the world in transit, graphics and all. You can observe the speed, the altitude of travel. and told exactly when it's arrived. But that's soon enough. Because of this new travel technology, you can go down. Listen to this, the days we live in. Right now, you and I can go down to our local store, get fresh crab meat delivered from Thailand. You can have a thoroughbred horse shipped to you from New Zealand. You can get fresh flour sent to your house from South America. You can get a genuine New York City-style pizza delivered anywhere in the world. And you and I can send a package from Japan in the afternoon and have it arrive in Washington the next morning. All in our lifetime. But the friendly skies is not the only place we like to rush here and there. You see, the airplane paved the way for what? For space travel. We can now go around as if this is... Actually, guys would probably like this vehicle. We can go around the planet in 80 minutes. How many guys would like to have a car like that? You can't afford the speed tickets, but anyway. What? Rushing here to and fro. 80 minutes, we're going around the planet. In our lifetime. And now we've not only gone from the moon and back, and it sounds like we're getting ready to go back there. But now our eyes are on the planet what? Mars, folks. Wake up, folks. Keep in mind, this is all in the last century. Does anybody get the idea that things are being sped up? Somehow Star Trek doesn't sound so foreign anymore, does it? And you talk about the ultimate going to and fro, here and there, as fast as you can. Get this. Did you know that teleportation is no longer a myth? In the last couple of years, scientists have actually successfully teleported light particles over a few miles. It would appear as if nothing's going to hold you and I, mankind, back from rushing here and there, whenever, whatever we want, except God. You see, I don't know if you notice this, but all this travel technology has made you and I as a people very arrogant, very self-confident. We don't need God. It's just like the Edomites. Long ago, and here's what God told that proud generation of people. Obadiah chapter 3 verse 4 says this, "The arrogance of your heart has deceived you. You who live in the clefts of the rock, in the loftiness of your dwelling place, who say in your heart, who's going to bring me down to earth? Though you build high," God says, "like the eagle, though you set your nest among the stars, from there I will bring you down," declares the Lord. Oh, people, this is mankind's heart. Even though one day we can arrogantly boast, "Hey, we're going to be just like Star Trek. We don't need you, God. We're our own gods. We're going to travel through the universe. We're going to visit planets. We're going to populate this and that. We can rush here and there, even to the edge of the stars. But one day, God will remind us who God is. He will bring us down in the last days, just like the Bible said." But that's not all. The second way modern technology reveals, what did Daniel say there? And when you are approaching the end times, it's not just an increase of travel to and fro here and there. It's an increase of what? Of knowledge, folks. And once again, for perspective, you got to keep in mind what Daniel was doing. His day was like when he wrote down the words of this prophecy. The amount of retrieving and sharing information was severely limited, folks. We did not even have the printing press until a few centuries ago. But look at us today. All in the last century alone. Are you getting it yet? In the last century alone, just like the Bible said, we are experiencing what? An explosion of information like never before. In fact, folks, let's get some information on information and tell you how fast it is in our lifetime. Take a look at this, folks. The total store of human knowledge is doubling every 8 years. That's how fast we're acquiring this information, like Daniel said in the last days. 80% of all scientists who have ever lived are alive today, folks. Every minute, 2,000 pages are added to man's scientific knowledge every single day. Sounds like we're hooked on information. The scientific material produced, get this, in one day would take one person 5 years to read. We don't even know what to do with all the information, okay? About 500,000 new books are published every single year. And that's still all. Since 1970, get this, amazing. Computer technology has developed so fast that if the auto industry had developed at the same rate as computers, today you could buy a Rolls Royce for $3 and you could fit 8 of them on the head of a pin. Now, how many guys would say that that wouldn't do you any good, except for me, because I'm the only one who could probably fit in one of those vehicles. But so we won't go there. What? No, it's exploding faster than we can keep up with. But that's still all. A weekly edition of any major newspaper has more information than the average person in the 17th century would have come across in their entire life. There's information more than we can deal with, folks. Thanks to the internet, there's thousands of international papers at your fingertips. Every single day, the equivalent of over 300 million pages of text is sent over the internet with millions of sites of information. Get this, about half of all medical knowledge is outdated every 10 years. And in some scientific fields, such as biotechnology, the cycle is less than 6 months. That's how fast it is going nowadays. There are now wristwatches that wield more computing capability than some 1970s computer mainframes. is more powerful than just your watches you get at Wally World. Okay? Ordinary cars today have more intelligence. You guys never heard Wally World? All right, whatever. Anyway, ordinary cars today, listen to this, have more intelligence than the original lunar lander. That's how fast it's going. And folks, here, pay attention to this one. The majority of the world either has a television set or what? Access to one. And speaking of that, you've got to pay attention. This is absolutely mind-blowing. Only in the last 5 to 10 years, folks, has this passage of Scripture concerning God's faithful two witnesses during the tribulation as a time frame has actually been able to transpire, folks. Let's take a look at the text, folks, because of television. Revelation 11, chapter 11, verses 9 through 10. For how many days? 3.5 days. Men from every people, tribe, language, and nation, what are they going to be doing? They're going to gaze upon their bodies and refuse them burial. The inhabitants of the earth will gloat over them and will celebrate by what? Sending each other gifts over 3.5 days because these two prophets had tormented those who lived on earth. You know how they tormented them? Tell them the truth about the gospel. Just like today, isn't it? As if we're doing something bad. Trying to rescue them. But here's my point, folks. Do you have any idea? Imagine 2,000 years ago when the Apostle John is writing this down. It must have seemed like some sort of weird, incredible fantasy. As he sees this vision, he sees the planet simultaneously watching two dead bodies, rejoicing over their deaths, and sending gifts to each other within 3.5 days. Until now. Do you have any idea the days we live in? People right now, due to the advent, and we take it for granted, of television and global satellite technology, you and I can watch anything we want, anytime we want, all over the world, simultaneously through television, can't we? Do you get it? And now get this, folks, with the birth of the internet, you and I, with the click of a mouse, can literally send a gift to anyone, anywhere on the planet, anytime within 3.5 days. Do you get it? That's only happened, folks, in the last 5 or 10 years. And the Bible said when that happens, when you see that generation, you better wake up. You are in the last days. But that's still the third way modern technology reveals we are living in the last days, folks, is an increase of unrest. It's a side effect of the first two. We're going to be traveling to and fro, going anywhere we want, anytime. We're going to have so much information, we don't know what to do with it. Paul says, here's what kind of society you're going to birth. But get this, here's what he says. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, 7 says this. But mark this, Paul says. Mark this. There will be terrible times in the last days. And he gives a list of them, and I want to hit the one on verse 7. He says, here's what's going to happen to that society. Here's what it's going to look like. These people are always going to be learning, but never able to acknowledge the what? The truth. People of God, the Bible warned clearly in the last days that we'd be traveling like never before. We'd be acquiring information like never before. And wake up, folks. We would have an increase of unrest like never before. Why? Because we'd actually become a people who are always learning, traveling here, traveling there, acquiring this piece of information, that piece of information, never acknowledging the truth, leaving us hence in a frustrated and restless state. Wake up, folks. God predicted as a sign that you are living in the last days what we call and even joke about the modern day rat race. It's a side effect of the first two prophecies of rushing here and there and getting this latest doodad and information, all that stuff. Correct me if I'm wrong, folks. Do we not live in the days which you and I are being told today, the more that we acquire of this new technology, the more time is going to save us so we can have more time rushing here and there, right? And are we not being told that tomorrow we can learn and acquire of this increase of information, the more peace it's going to produce in our lives? Isn't that what they're saying? But the question is, folks, is it true? Have we really saved more time? Have we created more peace with all these things and all this new technology? Are you kidding me, folks? We are a society on the brink of disaster. And that's exactly what the secular experts are saying. Get this. Even though we have the most highly funded educational system in the world, we are producing, folks, the most confused, ignorant, and violent children ever. Rates of depression are doubling every 10 years. Suicide is now the third most common cause of death among young adults in North America. 15% of Americans have had a clinical anxiety disorder, and serial killers are now commonplace. But wait a second, how could this be? I mean, we're mankind. We're going to rush here and there. We're going to travel. We're going to be like Star Trek. We're going to be our own gods. We don't need God. How could this be? This stuff's going to be our savior. read your Bible. Paul clearly said, because one day we would become a people who are always learning, always getting more and more and more stuff, yet never able to acknowledge the truth. You see, the truth is this, folks. The more we spend and fill our lives with this so-called time-saving devices, the more rushed we feel. Amen. In fact, the more we're, get this, amazing. We are in such a rush today that we tap our fingers while waiting for the microwave to zap our instant coffee. Right? That's how rushed we are. But how many people get it? This is the time and the sign that we're in the last days. The truth is this, folks, these devices that are supposed to save us so much time and give us more rest are actually making us more restless. Why? Because that's exactly what the Bible said would happen in the last days. In fact, one researcher made this comment. This might be rough for me to read this rapid rate, so pray for me. Tell me this is not our society, folks. He said, this century's mad dash of innovation, technology, information. He says, produced the most frantic human era ever. He says, we phone, we fax, we page, we email, we run from one end of life to the other, rarely glancing over our shoulders. Technology, mass media, the desire to do more, do it better, has turned us into a world of hurriers. Stop and smell the roses. Are you kidding? I ain't got the time. Instead, we've got a world of 7-day diets, 24-hour news channels, 1-hour photo, 30-minute pizza delivery, 10-minute facials, 2-minute warnings, and minute rice. We've got fast food, fast computers, fast cars, and fast lanes. We got DVD players with 5 fast forward settings. We got sound bites, rat race, instant coffee, get rich quick, live fast, die young, and leave a good empty corpse. He says, this run on empty, just do it, just do it, just do it, just do it. You've got places to go, people to meet, planners to fill, files to download, bills to pay, planes to catch. You got frozen dinners to nuke, websites to serve, kids to pick up, stress to manage, and like that nun, you got speeding tickets to pay. Isn't that our world? One guy observing this, he said, this is amazing. He says, it's very significant that we call it the information age. Pay attention. He says, we don't call it the knowledge age. That means you're getting something from it. He says, we call it the information age. He says, our society is basically motion without memory, which of course is one of the clinical definitions of insanity. Insanity. People of God, we have advanced beyond our wildest dreams. We could rush here. We could rush there. We don't need God. We've got stuff. We've got information. We'll become our own gods. We'll figure out our own way to heaven. But we are bankrupt spiritually about the true meaning of life. And it's all because we have been tricked and seduced by a rat race, restless society that does exactly what Daniel said would happen to the people in the end times. We rush here. We rush there. We're gathering this information and that information in the last days. And here's the satanic ruse, and I will say that clearly. The problem of being in such of a hurry all the time is you don't have the time to think about what's most important in life. You see it, ruse? There's nothing sinful about a VCR. There's nothing sinful about acquiring information. There's nothing sinful about traveling. Unless it takes away your time from God. Would you see what he's doing? Saved and unsaved, it's the same result. He's taking away our time. We're rushing here, we're rushing there. I gotta have this, I gotta do this. I don't have time for God. It's a ruse, folks. Believe it or not, the devil is not just real, but he is really out there tricking us, duping us, and to keeping us so stinking busy. Busy, busy, busy. I ain't got time for God. And one day, you'll wake up. And he's got you by the throat. Like this.
Maybe I'll say it one last time.
The problem of being in a hurry all the time. He's a master deceiver. Is now you do not have the time. It's all a distraction to keep you from missing what life's all about. Until you reach the grave, we're all marching towards the grave at different speeds. Why? Because if he can trick you from that, you will step into eternity headed for hell. You didn't have time. You got tricked and seduced to being too stinking busy. It is not just a sign, folks, we're living in the last days. It is a sign if that's you, and if you have ever said this from your lips, myself included, I just don't have time for God. It is a sign that you're being choked to death by Satan's yoke of busyness. Busy, busy, busy. Why? Because we would become a society, Daniel said, where you would rush here, you would rush there, you would get this latest doodad, this information, but you would never come to the truth. You got tricked and seduced by a satanic system. Instead of worshiping the one true God, you have bowed a knee before technology. When the whole time, it was a ruse. The answer to all your problems was right before you. This is what the devil does not want you to see. This is what he's trying to keep from you. You do not need to travel across the planet. You do not need to discover the whole world. Take off on a voyage for truth. In fact, folks, you don't even need the latest computer gizmo to understand it. You don't even need to spend a dime to receive it. Why? Because the truth of a restful life has been right under our noses the whole time in the words of Jesus Christ. He says this, then Jesus said, come to me. Not technology, not information, not working for the weekend, not entertainment, not a fast car, not money. He said, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden. And Jesus said, I will give you rest. People of God, please do not be fooled. It's by rushing here and there, increasing your knowledge somehow is where you're going to find rest. Because if you are, I have to warn you, you will not only remain restless, get this, one day if you're still alive, you will be ushered into the greatest time of unrest this world has ever known. It's called the Great Tribulation, and it's closer than you think. And believe it or not, even with all this ample evidence, folks, all around us about the soon return of Christ, get this, you talk about specifics. The Bible even predicted this as a sign of the last days, that people would refuse to admit the truth just like it was in the days of Noah. Tell me this isn't like today. Jesus speaking, Matthew 24, 37 through 39 said this, when the Son of Man returns, when Jesus comes back, how's it going to be? It's just like it was in Noah's day. The same old scoffing attitude. And those days before the flood, the people were what? Oh, enjoying banquets, partying, doing weddings, you know, the same old, same old. Right on up until the time Noah got into the boat. People didn't realize, Jesus speaking here, who didn't realize what was going to happen until the flood came and swept them all away. He said, that is the way it's going to be, unfortunately, again, when the Son of Man comes, when Jesus Christ comes back. People of God, I hope you are not one of these people. Predicted by Jesus 2,000 years ago. You're just too stinking busy for God. You're too busy partying. You're acting like nothing's ever going to change because it's always been this way, right? Noah? How many people realize, people probably said that to him. He was a faithful preacher, the Bible says, of righteousness. For 120 years. And not one person believed him. How would you like to have that ministry? But he did what God called him to do. And that's what this series is all about. I hope and pray you are not here and you're too stinking busy for God. Because people, as the people of Noah's day found out, then once the first raindrop hit their forehead, Noah wasn't too crazy. After all, was he? And how they must have pounded on that boat. Noah, let us in! But you didn't respond. Here's the good news. God gave people an opportunity just like it was back then. And he has given you an opportunity today. Because he loves you and I, he's given us this sign of amongst many signs, the sign of modern technology, to let us know when the tribulation was near and Christ's second coming is rapidly approaching. And Jesus says to his church today, Luke 21:28, when these things begin to take place, when they're taking place now, stand up, Christian, lift up your heads, your redemption is drawing near. People like it, love it, or even there's something more important than the economy going on. It's called eternity. Jesus Christ is coming back. It's called the final countdown, and we're headed straight for it. If you're a Christian, it's time to serve Jesus Christ. Don't get under Satan's yoke. Live for that which is eternal. And if you're not a Christian, I beg you, like Noah's day, please get right with God now. Because tomorrow may be too late. Let's pray.
Well, hi, this is Pastor Billy Crone of Niagara Frontier Bible Church. And I hope you enjoyed today's sermon. But in closing, let me ask you one final question. If you were to die today, are you sure that you go to heaven and not hell? Well, before you answer that, let me share one final thing with you. The Bible says that God is holy and that we are not. The Bible says that all of us, including myself, have fallen short of the glory of God and that the wages of our sin is death. We don't deserve to go to heaven. We deserve to go to hell. And since we have a problem, we don't want to admit this, God, out of love, sent us something called the Ten Commandments, His law, to show us that there's no way in the world that we could ever make it to heaven on our own. Let's take a look at a couple of them. The Bible says that you shall not lie, ever, not once in your life. How many guys have ever told a lie? Raise your hand. Well, for those of you who didn't raise your hand, you just proved my point. That would make you and I a liar before God. The Bible says you shall not steal. And if we're all honest with ourselves, we've taken something, even once, in our lives without permission. That makes us a thief. The Bible says you shall not use the Lord's name in vain. And now the Lord's name has become a cuss word. We've broken that. The Bible says that makes us a blasphemer. The Bible says you shall not commit adultery. If you think you're going to get to heaven on your own, you shall never do that. But hey, you might think, well, that's a piece of cake. I've never done that one. Really? Jesus said if you look at another person with lust in your eye, you've committed adultery in your heart. One more. The Bible says you shall not murder. And you might say, hey, no problem that one. I've never done that. Really? Jesus said, if you hate somebody in your heart, it's the same as murder in His eyes. Folks, that's just 5 out of 10 commandments. How are you doing? You're going to tell me that you're going to stand before God and you really think He's going to let you into heaven and He's going to ask you, hey, who are you? And you say, hey, God, let me in. By your own admission, I'm a lying, thief, blasphemer, adulterer, murderer, let me in. Folks, God's not going to let you in. We don't deserve to go to heaven, folks. We have broken God's law. We deserve to die and go straight to hell. Here's the good news. God doesn't want you to go to hell. So He's pardoned you for your crimes. He wants to get you off a death row. And just like in real life, a person can't get off a death row if they receive the governor's pardon. But just like in real life, a governor could write the pardon, even though the person is guilty of their crime. He could write the pardon and say, you don't have to go to the death penalty. But if they don't receive that pardon from the governor, they will still go to the death penalty. Folks, that's what God has done every day to everyone all over the world. Jesus Christ took the death penalty in our place. And every day that a person is alive, God is reaching out to them, asking them, pleading with them, please receive my pardon for your crimes. Please don't go through with the death penalty. Hey, if you're here today and you want to make sure that you're going to heaven, you need to receive God's pardon for your crimes through Jesus Christ. If that's you today, then maybe you could pray something like this. Dear Jesus, I know that I've broken your law. I am a sinner. I agree that you are holy and that I am not. And I'll never make it to heaven on my own. Please forgive me, Jesus, of all my sins. I believe that you died for me on the cross and rose again from the grave to pay the price for all my sins. I turn from my sins today and I turn to you. I trust in you, Jesus, and in you alone to take me to heaven. Make me into the person you want me to be. I surrender this life to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, folks, if you really prayed that prayer and you meant it from your heart, I want to be the first one to congratulate you. Welcome to God's forever family. But that's just the beginning. When a person first gets saved, which is just what happened to you, the Bible likens you as a baby. And a baby needs food, they need nutrients, they need somebody to care. And that's why something important you need to do now is to find a good, healthy church in your area who can help provide that nourishment for you. Unfortunately, not all churches are very good churches, so if you have some questions, then please contact us and we'd be glad to help you out. You need to get a Bible. You need to read the Word of God. And that's where you're going to find out about God and His wonderful plan and the reason and what He has planned and saved you for. You need to find it out in there as well. You need to pray to God. He's with you now wherever you go as His child. And prayer is not something mystical or magical. It's just simply having a conversation with God wherever you go. And finally, you need to tell somebody else about your new relationship with God and how that they can know for sure today how they can go to heaven instead of hell through God's pardon through Jesus Christ. Well, this has been Pastor Billy Crone of Niagara Frontier Bible Church. If there's anything we can do to help you, please don't hesitate to contact us. Our information, our contact information will be coming up on the screen here shortly, and we'd love to hear from you. Remember, I hope to see you in heaven. God bless.
Thank you for watching this presentation from Niagara Frontier Bible Church. If you'd like to send us a letter or any other kind of postage, you can reach us at 5287 Bronson Drive, Lewiston, New York, 14092, or you can give us a call at 716-297-8783, or for email, office@niagarafrontierbible.com, or you can visit our website at www.niagarafrontierbible.com.